I work on the Commission on Housing and Wellbeing. We're an independent body chaired by Robert Black, the first Lord General of Scotland. And our main aim is to look at the relationship between housing and wellbeing and really show how housing can have such a huge impact on all aspects of wellbeing for individuals and communities across Scotland. We're independent, like I said, but we're funded and hosted by Shelter. But at the end of this process, we can come up with our own recommendations, so Shelter might not even agree with them. It's been great to be here today. The discussions have been absolutely fantastic. It's been one of the best events I've been to. Great talking to people about some of the diverse issues that are affecting them in their jobs and in their sectors. I think what the discussions have shown is that by shifting the narrative from housing to home and building on the work of organisations like Carnegie, like Oxfam, we really are able to show that home is not only central to wellbeing, but it's absolutely necessary that we look at in that light of wellbeing. And what it helps organisations like the Commission on Housing and Wellbeing do is it really builds a platform for the Commission to really make policy recommendations on the basis that they enhance wellbeing and that housing should be seen by the Scottish Government as a primary social investment area for other social KPIs that currently sit within the other sectors, because a better home leads to wellbeing improved across the board. So this discussion is fantastic and it's absolutely vital, but there are challenges. And as Martin Evans said in his Shifting Dial report, we should be proud about what we've achieved in wellbeing, but not complacent. And I think that's really important. There are three challenges that really strike me whilst working on the Commission. And they are, first, the inevitable cuts to public finance. Second, how we communicate our ideas within sectors and to other sectors. And third is trying to reduce the damage we cause to the environment for future generations to inherit, because wellbeing, as we know, is just as much about the future as it is about the present. I'll just go into these topics just quickly. So public finance, we all know the UK stock of debt is going to continue to rise for many years, and any government, whatever its political persuasion, will need to probably spend less and tax more. So something more really needs to be asked. We really need to think about how we can think of ways to change housing policy so that it protects people's wellbeing, promotes enhanced wellbeing, but at the same time takes account of this financial reality. And I think the Commission on Housing and Wellbeing is really looking at this and taking note, and many of the recommendations that come out in the final report will not have substantial implications to the public purse, and may even suggest that private funding should replace public funding in some areas. And where we do make recommendations that do require substantial funding, we need to be clear as to why these should be prioritised over other competing claims. And this links in with the communication aspect, and that there are competing claims out there. The same sort of downturn in public sector financial support really has hit all sectors in need, and we need to be aware of other people's claims and work better together. On the global footprint idea really links to our ecological concerns about the damage that we cause to the environment, continuing with the same model of economic growth at present, and as I said, about the future as well as about the present. And in light of this, we really need to think of ways in which we can create policy that protects the most vulnerable, promotes equity, but at the same time ensures that we can reduce our national debt and reduce our global footprint. And I think this is really fundamental to the wellbeing aspect of what we've been discussing here today, because if we fail to make our recommendations, the Commission fails to make recommendations in the context in which future policy decisions will be made, then we're wasting our time. There's no point even talking about this, because they're going to end up on a desk somewhere and have no real impact. And we really will be doing a disservice to the people that we actually claim to be on the side of. So I think it's fundamental. And as someone who, I won't claim to be an expert in housing, but someone quite new to the sector, and I'm sure it's the same for many other sectors, there is an issue with communication, a big issue with communication within sector and between sectors. And if we are to be successful in our aims, then we really need to all the sectors come together, housing, health, education, the environment, and really ensure that we push forward initiatives aimed at tackling some of the biggest challenges we face. I mean, the rapidly growing size of the elderly population is such a big issue for Scotland right now, and the huge cuts as well that haven't really hit us yet. So these are really, really important issues that we need to get to grips with. And I'll just think one more thing. So for housing, I'm obviously coming from a housing perspective. You know, the public do place importance on housing. We all go home to our houses at the end of the day. So why is it not seen by decision makers as something as crucial as health, as education? And that leads me to think, and some people in the Commission, that it's about the communication and how we frame our ideas. Now, that's not an easy thing to deal with, but we definitely need to get rid of this fragmented bureaucratic approach that we have within sector and speak more as one unit. And if we can do that, then we can be much clearer about what our contribution to the wellbeing agenda is going to be. That said and done, it's not an easy task, but those are the kind of three challenges that I think are in front of us in a policy-making environment.